The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. I'm sorry, but it just sounds petty. Just that clip that we just had right there. They want to move on, and now so do I. Like, you can have conviction of self and admit that that is not what you want. You can say, they want to move on. I don't want to move on. I want to end my career in Green Bay. But since they are the franchise and they are going to make the decision, I have to go along with it. Like, that's a, you know what I'm saying? There's a nuance there of the message. But this whole, they want to move on and now so do I, again, there's a scorned lover element to it as well that I find to be really fascinating here. And I don't understand how you go from 90% wanting to retire to then wanting to play for the Jets. Unless, as Gabe said, you're motivated by S-P-I-T-E.
What if he went to the mini camps, kept his mouth shut? And I'm saying previous to all of this, do you still move on from him?
No. I don't think they do.
So you think his actions caused his exit from Green Bay?
I do.
Yeah, a reluctance to acquiesce.
I still think you move on, though.
A reluctance to, a hesitation to recognize that this is a hierarchy, that the organization is bigger than you, that you cannot continue down this path of isolating every single person who ever dares cross you. And I use cross in quotation marks because conflict exists in life. Right? It's one of the things that we teach our children. Conflict exists. The ability to navigate and manage conflict separates the successful people from the not successful people. And I know you're going to sit here and throw it in my face and you're going to say, but Aaron Rodgers has been one of the most successful people to ever play the game, to ever play the position. And again, you could also make the argument of, right, but at every turn, there is conflict that seems to permeate the narrative, to permeate his existence. I mean, the Mike McCarthy thing is not something he's going to shake.
No.
The inability to see eye to eye, to work together. You know, it's always like, Rodgers, if you were so brilliant, and I went back and read that Ty Dunn article on Bleacher Report from several years ago that detailed some of the falling out between him and McCarthy. I went back and read that last week. You know, at some point, there could have been a meeting of the minds there. But instead, it was, you don't know, I'm done with you. Right. And when you make things frosty and you're supposed to be creating a team environment, and you're supposed to be pulling the rope in the same direction. That's difficult to deal with in any industry, guys, in any industry. I don't care if you're a plumber. I don't care if you work in a corporate office. You cannot be the problem consistently and hope that your performance outweighs all of the grindiness. And so I understand if, in fact, that did finally wear down the Green Bay Packers brass. I'm not even sure that it had, Gabe. I'm not even sure that they were at that point. He seems convinced that this notion that they were out there seeing what they could get for Aaron Rodgers was all of the information he needed. Did he have a conversation? Did they go and say, hey, I'm hearing that you guys are shopping me. What's that all about?
I'm really curious what they told him before he left Green Bay after the Lions game. When he said that he had those meetings with Gutekunst, whomever, I'm really curious what they said there. Because I'm really curious to know if Rodgers found out before everybody else did, whether it was the McGinn piece, the Tom Silverstein piece, that Goody had said something to somebody maybe in confidence that then got out about him wondering if it's time to move on.
Okay, so yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, Aaron did address some of the timeline with the Green Bay Packers and potential conversations that took place. Take a listen to Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show yesterday.
You know, I was interested in where they would be at mentally. Everything that I was told in the week that I was in Green Bay was take as long as you want and, you know, we want you to retire Packer. You know, you want to come back and play. Obviously, the door is wide open. So that was the information that I was going, on. Now, when I came out of the darkness, something changed. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but something changed. And I got back to my phone after 5 days off of it, you know, because your phone's not on the entire time. There's no Wi-Fi on that, you know, hippie mountain. And when I got back to that little shack they have where there's a, you know, one bar of Wi-Fi, and got back to the, you know, hundreds of text messages and emails and all different things, I realized that there'd been a little bit of a shift. And that I heard from multiple people that I trust around the league, players mostly, that there was some shopping going on, that they were interested in actually moving me.
They got to do their due diligence, right?
Yeah, but they were interested.
I mean, but if he came out and said, I don't want to play in Green Bay anymore, I'm going to be traded, you have to be proactive and reactive.
Correct.
Will the Packers respond to this or no? Or should they?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will.
Just
think they need to.
Let it all spin. And if they do, it'll be through media people. It'll be getting a message out there through the media people.
So,
but I just don't understand. Like, has this ever happened to you, too, where you hear something and you have and you can acknowledge it after the fact, irrational reaction to the stimuli? You have an irrational reaction to it, right? Like, this to me is Aaron Rodgers hearing through his channels that the Packers were quote unquote shopping him, and then him basically doing his version of the half-baked scene where the guy leaves the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. Bleep you, bleep you, bleep you, you're cool, bleep you, I'm out. As opposed to having the conversation that Gabe was just referencing, saying to him, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Where do we stand now? Because this is what you guys told me. And again, it wasn't that there was a conversation. It doesn't appear that there was a conversation. It appears as though he heard some stuff and then he decided this. 800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line. Let's go out to Andy in North Carolina. Andy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your guys' show. The last time I called was right after the Bucks won the championship. So it was a little different.
Woo! Hey, remember when that happened? That was cool.
That was awesome. So I remember meeting Favre in 1992, and Chewy, I think I met you that day, too.
Oh, boy.
And just how much I liked him. No. You were cool.
Okay.
And then 2005, you know, Rodgers comes in. I've been at some impactful games in Rodgers' career. I was at the game when he broke his collarbone against the Jets, and then they brought in, I don't know who the backup was, but he was not good. Against the Bears, sorry.
Seneca
and
Wallace.
So, like, I've been at these moments with Favre and Rodgers. They were, like, my favorite players forever. And now they're two of my least favorite players. And just, like, this revenge factor, this irrational thinking. I guess I'm just curious. I feel like the whole thing yesterday with Maxie was a PR play, and I'm really curious what you guys think. Like, what was his reason for going on that show? And then I guess the second part was if Brett Favre could have talked back in whatever year it was he got traded to the Jets. I mean, what would Favre have said? Would it have been similar?
So far. Favre did famously talk to Greta Van Susteren back in 2008, which ended in Greta showing up on ESPN Milwaukee and getting into it with Homer. So, you know, that's a fond memory that I have of that. Clearly, Aaron went on there to be able to tell his side of the story without receiving much pushback. The only real pushback he got yesterday was from A.J. Hawk. Shockingly, because I think AJ is probably the tightest one with Aaron on that show, of AJ going, if the Packers said, hey, we want you back, would you have gone back? But I think Aaron wanted to be 100%, by the way. He wanted to go out there to spin his side of the story, because part of this has still been, to me, both sides have been trying to avoid being the bad guy. And Aaron, to his credit, said nobody has to be the bad guy in this one, and then proceeded to try to make the Packers be the bad guy. But yeah, this was a PR move solely for going on a platform and not getting any pushback.
But if what he's saying is true, and the more I think about it, seems to be true, because the Packers said, all right, it's your decision. Let us know when you come out. And
yeah.
Then I mean, this is business, right?
Yeah.
You got to take the personal side. Business is business. This happens.
Which, again, he articulated numerous times yesterday that he understands that it is a business. And yet, here we are.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Greg in the 916 wing and saying, if he was at 90% towards retiring and he was honest with the team about that, didn't they have to start thinking about Love as a starter? I don't think they expected him to take 2 months either when they said, take all the time you need. And who are these players who told him that the Packers were shopping him? Why would these players know anything about those details? That from Greg in the 916.
Probably wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Well, players do players know things? I'm guessing players hear things. I don't know if they necessarily know them, but you had to.
There's really no relationship between the player and the front office,
except for the agents.
Except for the agent, I'm just saying a player that's signed for the next 3 years, he has no business or reason to talk to anyone in the front office. I mean, I would talk to. In the years that I played, I remember talking to Ron one summer in the parking lot for probably 20 minutes. Outside of that, it was, hey, Ron, what's going on, Ron? Nice bulge, Ron. Nice shorts. He'd wear those nasty bike two-button shorts. Bad dresser. But he kept us laughing in training camp.
You and your visualizations
unbelievable.
Have brought us more joy on this show
joy.
Than anything else. 800-990-3700.
I'm wasn't joyful with those shorts.
76. Let's go out to handful. Sean in Oak Creek. Sean, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in because I've been listening this morning, and I think, Jen, you are dead on, spot on point. This guy is just... It's always somebody else's problem. You know, the entire season, it was easy to point fingers at everybody else from the GM to the coach to even his players. It was always their fault. He never took accountability for anything that went wrong with the Packers. And I just think we all got Aaron Rodgers fatigue. It's time to move on. This guy is never going to be held accountable for anything. Like you said, he went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday specifically so he would never be held accountable or put like the pushback so he can give his spin, give his side of the story, but never have somebody step on his toes and hold him accountable. So at this point, I was a real Aaron Rodgers fan for most of his career, but the last year, I was just like, this guy is toxic. It's time to move on. He's killed morale. He's killed. I mean, what job do you go in and you can talk about your manager and the owner of the company without some consequences? I mean, he threw everybody under the bus this year, and I just think that's bad for team.
Appreciate the call, Sean. We appreciate you calling in and giving us your take on that. Let's go out to Jeff in Minneapolis. Jeff, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to Aaron Rodgers saying he wants to play and he wants to play for the New York Jets.
I think they should. I'm happy that he wants to play for the Jets. It's time to move on. And I think probably 50% of what he said on the McAfee show was him creating his own narrative. He said after the Bears game, the feeling has to be mutual about moving on together. He knew back then this business that he's trying to, you know, that he was blindsided. I'm not a victim. And then he goes and says all the ways that they treated him poorly. It's ridiculous. And that they just need to move on. I think they're doing the right thing. And I appreciate his career. He was phenomenal, but it's time to move on.
800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction this morning to the Aaron Rodgers announcement yesterday that he does, in fact, want to play for the New York Jets. Mike and Racine weighing in on the talk and text line. Rodgers is a BS artist who uses his words and talent to manipulate people. He's done it far too long. I'm glad he's on his way out. We are about to see players and coaches be free and play with a level of freedom and confidence that we haven't seen in years. Dan from Salem also weighing in, guys, and this is something I want to talk about with you when we get a chance. Roger said it before, but he brought it up again yesterday. What do you think when he shows disappointment about how the Packers treat veterans on their way out? That is something that we could discuss about just the way that Green Bay handles those situations, which obviously crop up regularly as players are being cycled out of the league. We'll get into that, but we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need, that I need, to stay active and energized all day long. And trust me, I need Celsius to give me the energy to deal with Gabe and Chewy and Ashton every single morning right here on ESPN Milwaukee. You know what my favorite drink is, guys? Ashton, Gabe, Chew, what is my favorite Celsius Energy Drink?
It's Peach Vibe.
Watermelon.
Yep. Famously watermelon. You got it. I have one every Saturday morning before I hit the air for college football coverage. It keeps me going all weekend long. You can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon. Celsius Energy Drink. Celsius Energy Drink. Live fit.
Abe and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN. The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
Sponsored by Milwaukee Pretzel Company. Win a Bavarian soft pretzel lover's gift pack from the Milwaukee Pretzel Company. Shop now at MilwaukeePretzel.com.
All right, Gabriel, what do we got today?
List of 8 things in front of me. You're going to guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, maybe you get a mulligan or two. We open up to you, the fan, 800-990-3776. Last person to get the last thing on this list will win that great prize pack, courtesy of our friends at Milwaukee Pretzel Company. Since 1988, there have been 8 Green Bay Packer quarterbacks who have started a game and won a game. Who are they? Since 1988, 8 players have started at quarterback in a game in which the Packers have won. Name them.
So let's start with the easy ones. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I'm surprised you started there.
What? We don't have time for this.
You're very bad at this game.
I'll save the layups.
Okay.
Magic Man.
The Magic Man is number 3. Jennifer?
I thought he was doing layups. Didn't he say layups?
No, I said I'll leave the layups.
Oh, I'll leave the layups.
That's not what I heard.
I know.
I understood what you were doing.
Brett Favre.
Is number 1.
Notre Dame. Blonde hair.
Are you guessing name? Or filling out a personal ad?
Trying to think. Tomczak.
Mike Tomczak with 2 wins.
Yeah!
His number is on the list.
He's not from Notre Dame. I think he's from Michigan. Am I right?
I could. Here, okay, I'll click on it while Jen thinks.
How about Matt Hasselbeck?
No.
What? Not on the list?
Not on the list. How would Matt Hasselbeck have played a game for the Packers when Brett Favre started every game?
So if the quarterback...
Literally every game.
Hold on, Gabe. If the quarterback goes out...
Yes.
That doesn't
And someone
count?
Comes in and finishes...
You had to have started a game in which the Packers won. Start a game in which the Packers had won. Tomczak, by the way,
the guy that
way
went to Seattle,
Ohio State.
Went to Seattle, came back here, signed a big deal in Seattle. Russell Wilson was good.
Matt
he came
Flynn.
Back here. He won in New England.
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn is number 4.
You get no credit for that, by the way.
I literally gave you the answer.
How many do we have?
You have Brett Favre at 1, Aaron Rodgers at 2, Don Majkowski at 3, Matt Flynn at 4, and miraculously, Mike Tomczak at number 7.
Because I played with Tomczak. He was there in 92. That's why I knew.
Okay.
Well, he said from 1988.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you need number 5, number 6, and number 8. So you have 5 of the 8.
So Brett's era is out. Aaron's era is not out. Was Flynn the only one to win during Aaron's tenure?
I can't tell you the answer.
No, I know. The blonde guy from Notre Dame.
The
hell was his name?
Still don't know who you're talking about.
Jen?
I was looking to see if Jordan Love had won a single game that he started. That's what I was just Googling.
When you're ready to punt, let me know.
I get credit if the guy went to Notre Dame and someone else guesses him.
Okay.
Are you out?
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out.
800-990-3776. We are looking for the eight players who have started a game in which the Packers have won since 1988. 800-990-3776. Correctly guessed, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Don Majkowski, Matt Flynn, and Mike Tomczak. So still three names left on the list.
What was that guy's name? Like 88, 89, 90.
All right, so this guy... No, you're no idea what you're talking about.
Is it Brock? No.
You have no idea what you're talking about. We'll just leave it at that.
He was on the team, though.
Okay, sure.
So does that mean that Doug Peterson didn't start a single game?
No.
That's correct.
Because of Favre.
Yes. So we're dead from 92 to 208.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Travis and Tosa. Travis, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I'm going to try. How about Seneca Wallace?
Seneca Wallace did start a game, but the Packers lost that game. And
so he's wrong. 800-990-3776. Nate and Aaron, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Did Brett Hundley win a game?
Brett Hundley won three games.
Nice. Good.
So Brett Hundley is on the list, meaning we just need number 6 and number 8.
Yeah, that was the only one I had, unfortunately.
800-990-3776. AJ in Oostburg. AJ, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
He stole my, I had Hundley too, but let's just think here a second. Let's see. Back in late 80s. Man, would that have been... I can't think of anything. I had Huntley.
I got him.
What do you mean you got him?
It was my guy.
There's not a guy on this list that went to Notre Dame.
Maybe it wasn't Notre Dame. But no, it was Notre Dame. I think you're wrong.
It was another prestigious Midwestern school that dabbles in Catholicism. Theodore in Watertown, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Did somebody say Scott Tolzien?
Scott Tolzien started a couple of games. However, the best he could do was a tie. He did not actually win a game. Best he did was tie the Minnesota Vikings. So he is not on the list.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Clint in Monches. Is that what it is?
Monches. Yeah.
Monches.
Yep.
Clint, you're on. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yep, can you complete our list?
Did anybody say Scott Tolzien?
Scott Tolzien was just guessed. It is incorrect, but because it was just guessed, we'll give you another one.
Matt Flynn.
Already guessed. Quickly the list. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Don Majkowski, Matt Flynn, Brett Hundley, Mike Tomczak, all on the list. We just need two more.
Yeah, count me out. Thanks.
That was great. He's just like, yeah, it's not going to happen. I apologize. 800-990-3776. Chris in Milwaukee. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Yeah, did DeShone Kizer.
DeShone Kizer did start. DeShone Kizer did not win.
You got to go back.
Again, the list. Since 1988, eight quarterbacks for the Packers have started and won a game. Who are they? We have 6 on the list: Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Don Majkowski, Matt Flynn, Brett Hundley, and Mike Tomczak. We just need two more. We have any callers?
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Jeff in Minneapolis. Jeff, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Anthony Dilwig?
Yeah.
Anthony Dilwig is a correct answer. He went to Duke.
Yes. I'm not talking about him. You owe me an apology after this show, too.
Based on what?
It might be wrong, but it was a good guess. That's the bar now.
I've never even heard of Dilwig.
Yeah, you never heard of Anthony Dilwig?
No. Won two games in 1989
and 1990. Yeah.
Yeah, they called him the Wizard. There was the Magic Man and the Wizard.
Oh, I kind of love that.
Do you have the last one?
No, that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
That was good.
I don't have any more.
Steve in Kenosha, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8 list?
Can Randy Wright.
Yeah! Randy Wright is the correct answer.
Now, who was my guy?
We don't know.
Blair Keel.
Okay, I know who Blair Keel is, but yes,
Notre
Blair
Dame?
Keel. Man, yeah, I'm sure. If
he
you
didn't
say
win
so.
A game, but he started two games. That would have been a good guess.
Yeah, like Jordan Love, he started some games, didn't win any, but he started some.
He's going to win a lot.
We got to take a break here on Jen Gabachui. We have Diana Rossini from ESPN coming up next. Stick around.
Want to tell you about our friends over at Ewald Automotive, and the best used car selection just got better. Now introducing Ewald's best certified used cars. Every vehicle undergoes a comprehensive inspection and includes a free Carfax vehicle report, a 3-day, 300-mile exchange policy, and even includes an exclusive 1-year limited powertrain warranty. Shop over 400 exclusive certified used cars today. Just another way that Ewald makes it easy, because that's what they do over at Ewald. Start by going to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen
even
to his
I don't
interview,
know.
The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
ESPN Milwaukee, and you have seen this woman's name all over ESPN for the last 7 years, really, since she's been at ESPN. We are so happy to be joined by Diana Rossini of ESPN. And Diana, I loved how you addressed this yesterday when you were on ESPN talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation, and you said Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be the first guy to tell me to lose his number. Yesterday, as Aaron Rodgers was discussing the report that you had about his wish list, what was your reaction to the way he handled it?
Hi, guys. Good morning. So good to be joining you. I can't even imagine what this week has been like for you guys, discussing
week?
All the ins and outs, the layers.
The week?
That's a great point. I'm undervaluing what you guys have been doing, you know, the last few years here. So, look. I'm not sure what's next for you guys now, because you just lost a very big talking point, but I'm sure you're going to have much more drama to come there as you guys are covering the Packers. But yeah, I had a lot of thoughts yesterday watching and listening to Aaron go through what really felt like an opportunity for him to just go at everybody. You know, he was definitely upset, and it looked like he had two things he needed to get off his chest. His frustration with the Green Bay Packers and his disappointment, and the media. So, and I think those two things came across very clearly. So he made his point. But in terms of the specifics of the wish list, I wasn't sure how. I knew he was going to address it because I had heard already that he was upset about it. But as you guys know, because you are all fantastic hosts, and you are great at what you do, we never reported that Aaron Rodgers was telling Woody Johnson and Joe Douglas that these are my demands, and if these players don't get signed to be New York Jets, I'm out. Those were never the words. It was, here are the guys I would like. These are my people of interest. And it's normal, by the way. This isn't crazy. It's just, I think what happens, obviously, I think nowadays with social media, everything kind of gets turned into the narrative that certain outlets want it to be. And Aaron did his best at taking really what I thought was a very strong report. He knows it. I know it. The Jets know it. And trying to make it his own. So, yeah, it's not great. It's not fun to sit there and have someone try to tell the world that your report was wrong when that's not what I even reported. But the good news is this isn't a person, a quarterback, a player, a celebrity, an athlete that has earned the trust of the public anyway. So, believe me, this is a lot worse if Patrick Mahomes is standing up there saying that. So, yeah, it was a long day, but in the end, I stand by my reporting, Jen.
Diana, how is he going to handle the New York media? Is this going to be must-see TV?
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I'm excited from I want to see how he's going to maneuver. I've been living in the New York, New Jersey area my entire life. So not only have I been part of the media, but I read it, I watch it, right? So there are times for me personally, I don't think the New York media is that harsh. They're just impatient. Like, that's the best way I would describe the New York way. To me, the harshest media across the country, without a doubt, is Philadelphia. Like, it's not even close. But I do think the New York press, understanding what they're dealing with here, understanding what the Jets had to do to get him, the drama leading up to just getting word he's coming to New York, isn't going to help his first few weeks here. So I don't think he's starting off on the right foot. But, you know, I'm interested to see how much winning, if that's what they're able to do, will win this crowd over. But I can tell you, they're not going to go easy on him. That I can guarantee.
So we see him leaving, but he's not gone yet, Diana. Do we have any idea of a timeline when this thing could actually be finalized?
We don't, right? Because they're still trying to work out the trade compensation. And, you know, we've had conversations, and when I say we, Adam Schefter and I have been talking to the Jets. We've been talking to the Packers. We've been talking to Rodgers' representation. We've been talking to as many people as we possibly can who are involved in this. And to be fair,
Diana, trying to reach out to Aaron Rodgers, which you guys articulated yesterday, texting him, calling him, because he had said, if you want to know, just call me. Obviously, that was a disingenuous request. But continue. I apologize.
You know how long it took me to get his number, by the way? I felt like that was the story that really got pushed under the rug. Do you know how hard it is to get Aaron Rodgers' cell phone number? Like, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I have a nice amount of players' contact, but there's just a few that you're just never going to get it, no matter what you do. And he has been one of those that you just, it's hard to get to him. So I just thought that was such a victory. that the number was right, you know, because you never know if someone passes you a number, if they're just kind of, you know, the person that gave it to me even said, like, no matter what happens, you never got this number from me.
Sure, that's sure. How scared this person
was to give me that number. So, and that being said, you know, so the thought right now is that, you know, the Jets are going to have to give up a first this year and a conditional pick next year. That's not for sure. That's just right now kind of the numbers we're playing with, what we're hearing. That could change. And look, what Aaron did say yesterday about the Packers holding it up is true. You know, we could argue about that whole interview, moments where I don't think he was being very truthful, but that part he was certainly being honest.
Diana Rossini joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. She was just talking about what could be the compensation for Aaron Rodgers. And one of the things that I've been struggling with, Diana, is it appeared, and look, I watched that interview that you had with Woody Johnson on the red carpet at the NFL Awards. It appeared as though this was a guy who was willing to move heaven and earth, do whatever it took to get Aaron Rodgers under center in New York. And now all of a sudden, Woody Johnson is gun shy. What happened here, do you think? Because I felt like Woody Johnson was like, whatever he needs, whatever it takes, we're going to make it happen. Now all of a sudden it's going, well, we're not going to give him that. Is that a Joe Douglas thing? Was it an Aaron Rodgers thing? What do you think changed this idea of whatever it takes to, well, but it's like meatloaf. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. How did we get here?
It's a great observation by you on Woody's angle on Aaron Rodgers, and we know he was trying not to tamper when I was talking to him about the type of quarterbacks he was going after. And, you know, I think he was pretty calculated with his wording, but I think you walked away from it. Yeah, they're going after Aaron Rodgers because they believe he is the best quarterback for the New York Jets. So I certainly read it the same way you did, which is they're going to move heaven and earth. And from the conversations I had, even with people in the building that are part of this, this was very driven by ownership. This isn't just Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas banging the drum. This is Woody. And this even goes back to the days of Brett Favre. This was a Woody Johnson-driven project. So, you know, I don't know the specifics of what changed. All I know is Green Bay's request went up. And, you know, maybe it's a situation where Woody already felt they were doing a lot, and when Green Bay just became so ridiculous you know, they say, you know, I'll touch my toes. I'm not going to touch the floor. I don't even know if that's the right saying, but it's something along that line of I'll be willing to go, just not all the way. So I think they tried to be okay with it. And then I think the ask just became a little too much. And this has been the frustration in the building, which is why we haven't been able to say, yes, Aaron's going to New York, because the Jets brass really felt paranoid, anxious, and concerned that this would all fall through. Some of it, Aaron, right? There's a thought that he could have changed his mind, even though he informed the Jets on Friday last week that he was going to be coming to New York. But something within what Woody was willing to do, I think, is also making them nervous. But here's the thing. I think in the end, the Jets are going to have to give more than I think what they thought at the start of this process.
Diana, do they have a plan B? It seems like all the plan Bs are gone.
Yeah, plan Bs are gone, right? We know we got Lamar Jackson available, but I can just tell you that that is not even on their radar.
Wow.
In terms of this is how we're going to shift.
Is it too expensive, you think? Because they know they'd have to pay, obviously, something to outbid, essentially, the Ravens, and then also give up those two first-round picks?
Yes, and also, I mean, this is a shared sentiment around the league. This isn't just a Jets thought process here. This is why the Lamar Jackson, you know, this could be another conversation we could have. Just his market is dry right now because nobody wants to pay that guaranteed money. That's the biggest issue. It's not about Lamar. It's about the contract. And until a team, and I don't see it right now at this point, and it could change, we know that. But at this point, I do not see an owner in the NFL right now stepping up going, I'm willing to do what the Cleveland Browns did and give a guaranteed contract to a quarterback whose strength has been his mobility and durability has been a question mark. Those are the same issues the Ravens had with him, which is why they're not willing to give that guaranteed money, the durability aspect. So while, you know, you don't want to criticize Lamar because the market dictates what he should be asking for. And technically the market is what the Deshaun Watson contract states. But ownership does not want to give into that. They want that to be the outlier.
Do you think the Packers are going to finalize this trade before they start looking for who their backup quarterback is going to be?
No, I don't. I think they're going to probably continue moving on with the business and focus on their needs and try to get this worked out before the draft, which I cannot believe those words just came out of my mouth that this is going to continue this much longer. But it could. And that's the reality of this, of, you know, could this continue? Could Green Bay dig in here? Possibly, because it seems like they're doing it right now. I don't know what's going to eventually get this thing over the goal line, but for right now where it stands, from what we're being told, this isn't getting done today.
Diana, we appreciate you hanging out with us here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and I've said this to you personally, but I want to say it on the air. Like, none of these shows, whether it be our show or Get Up or Pat McAfee's show or anybody else who exists in the sports opine space, does it without your hard work, without Adam Schefter's hard work. You guys are in the trenches. You guys are doing the digging. You're getting all of the goods. And then we're all just reacting to it. So I want to make sure that we express our appreciation for what you guys are doing, making those calls, having those contacts, and getting us the information on the league.
That is really kind of you. I appreciate that. I love what I do. Even if that means, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks are out there saying, you know, lose my number. Guess what? I kept his number in my contacts. I didn't delete it.
I, for one, am shocked that you didn't just do what Aaron Rodgers says, because that's what everybody here in Green Bay does. They just do what Aaron Rodgers says. Diana Rossini joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to take a break, but we roll on right after this. Gabe?
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's why Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, you may be dealing with low testosterone. You might not even know it. With low testosterone, maybe you're tired, groggy, don't feel like you have the energy like you did a year or two ago, and maybe you just think it's because you're getting more tired. You know, you're getting a little more old. age is starting to creep up there. That's what I thought. Get a little bit older doing a morning show. That's probably why I'm a little more tired throughout the course of the day. No, turns out my testosterone levels were low. I went to Mentality, had a blood panel done. Blood panel came back about a week later. They said, yeah, testosterone levels were low. So now I work with them for a customized testosterone treatment just for me. Energy levels back. I have that energy to get through my day and attack all the things that I need to do. Go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, LowTUSA.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a, no, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Have you guys been to St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? If you haven't, what in the world are you waiting for? If you're looking for the perfect restaurant for your next night out, you should make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate, your next dinner destination. I had a girlfriend in from ESPN a few weeks ago. Guess where we went for dinner? It's a no-brainer. We went to Aria because, of course, they have this new item, family-style chicken dinner available every Sunday. The famous Broastish chicken served with mashed potatoes, goat cheese biscuits. Goat cheese.
God, that
biscuits.
Sounds so good.
Mm,
I'm going to make that.
I sound like Homer Simpson with the donuts. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkatearts.com. stkatearts.com. You know I will see you there.
I hope you like the show because it's on a budget. So who did la de go? Yeah, come on, here we go.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Who currently holds the leverage in the Aaron Rodgers saga? 68% of people are saying it is, in fact, the Green Bay Packers. And I assume the justification for that position is, of course, that they can just wait. They can just wait. Now, at some point, Gabe, that becomes financially irresponsible, right? At some point, you can't carry Roger's salary and Jordan Love's salary and every other guy that Chewy has lamented about them paying the highest top dollar to. But right now is not that point.
Well, it's whenever that roster or that option bonus comes due, because it's fully guaranteed unless he negotiates out of it, which he's not going to do at this point with the Packers, because we know he wants to move on. So I guess they can just wait out to the first game of the year, but I don't think anybody wants that.
But I just saw a graph on ESPN where odds to win the Super Bowl today... A couple days ago, the Jets were at 30-1. Now they're at like 11-1. They have to do it. They have to. And you heard Diana. There's no plan B. What? Lamar's out of the picture. What are you going to do?
I'm a little surprised that they don't just like sprinkle some Lamar is in the picture. Oh, actually.
Just for
leverage.
Yeah, leverage.
Just to act like B. But again, any report out there that they're not pursuing Lamar in some, you know, league-wide stance to not give Lamar Jackson that guaranteed money also might bite them in the butt. I think it helps them if people think that they would be in on the Lamar sweepstakes, because then Aaron Rodgers isn't their only option. Right now he is. And I would love to know, and Diana didn't know, but, you know, I would love to know what changed Woody Johnson's position, because it certainly seemed like he was all in on Rodgers, whatever it takes.
It was Peter King had it 2 months ago that, he's willing to give 2 first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. Willing to do that. Somebody within the organization had to go, hey, Woody, let us handle this. We know what we're doing. You're just going to have to trust us.
But I also think it's not far-fetched to think that Aaron Rodgers, who, again, prides himself on being really locked in to a lot of this type of stuff, wouldn't say, hey, you know what I could do with a first-round pick? You know what I could do with one of those top targets, with one of those top players in the league? Top rookies in the league? Could do some damage, could do some stuff. And then if Woody was like, yeah, why am I giving that away? We need it.
This won't get done until a couple days before the draft.
I hate you.
I'm just saying.
Hey, easy.
I can barely keep track of what today is. So what are you talking
about?
2 weeks? 3 weeks?
7 weeks?
7 weeks?
End of April, right? Yes.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Today's the 15th or 16th. Today's the 16th.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
4 weeks? 5 weeks?
5, 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Six
God
weeks.
Bless America.
6 weeks from today is the draft.
Wait, what day? What is the date?
Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow.
What's that? What's the date?
Of the draft?
Yeah.
The 27th.
Damn it. I thought it was going to be when I was out.
You know, I'm going to take that next week off too, I think. Oops.
Where are you going?
Hell of a producer this morning, Ashy.
Oh.
I'm taking one day off to move. That's it.
Don't ask for help. Call Ron.
I don't think he was going to, actually. We've had quite a full show today. We had Mike Greenberg. If you missed any of that interview, you can, of course, find it on Wisconsin On Demand. Jason Wilde weighing in on the Aaron Rodgers has announced he'd like to go to the New York Jets as well. And then we just had Diana Rossini, who is, of course, in the mix with the Pat McAfee show and the Aaron Rodgers show. Can I just for 1 second talk about how Pat McAfee really jammed that up? Like, again, and you guys know, I got a relationship with Pat. We work on College Game Day together. But when he asks a question of Aaron Rodgers and phrases it as though there was a list of, quote, demands, and at no point during the coverage and the reporting of the list was it ever considered demands. Was it ever a do or die ultimatum type of situation? That's a manipulation of the information, man. And there's been way too much of that throughout this entire thing.
Aaron Rodgers manipulates information?
Shocking.
You don't say.
Immunized. Shrug. Will D'Antosh is next on ESPN Wisconsin. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll see ya.